Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz. I'm so glad you can join me here for our newsworthy clip day two. Now, it's March 17th today, and if you have a copy of your Advanced magazine with you, we're on page 27. Now, with me in the studio today, I have Lois to my right. Hello, Lois.
Hi, Liz. Good to be here.
Good to have you back again. And I also have Josh to my left. Hello, Josh.
Hi, Liz. I'm tired from all that theme park, all those rides we went on yesterday.
Good one. Well, today we're going to talk about something a little different. We're not talking about rides. Instead, we're going to go medical this time. Okay, so from theme parks and amusement parks and all that fun stuff, we're going to be talking about medical issues. Now, for some people, they might feel like, uh-oh, this is going to be a little heavy. Well, actually, I think this is a rather serious topic, and I think it deserves a lot of attention, especially nowadays when we are more and more, we're becoming more aware of health issues. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to inform the public just what's going on in terms of what's available medically speaking and to know what our rights are.
That's right. And we often talk about studies, you know, research that's done in the advanced class, and sometimes, you know, they don't feel extremely relevant. But in this case, we're all getting older. Right, Lois?
Right. As soon as we're born, we're getting older.
That's very true.
I always say I'm getting older, but not old.
Oh, good.
Good. Well said.
I'm going to use that. We're also dealing with aging parents, many of us.
I certainly am.
And
yes.
So this is something, if you've got aging parents, I think you should pay attention to.
Right. But another thing we have to be careful of is nowadays, because of just social media, because of the internet, resources, reports, news, you know, they're flying all around and they're available for the most part. But how to handle the information in a wise way, so to speak, how to handle the information intelligently, to do critical thinking.
Exactly. Not to panic when you read some of these studies.
Precisely. Because not everything you see on the internet is true.
What? I didn't know that.
How did I know you were going to say that, Josh?
So, unfortunately, because there is a lot of deception out there, there's a lot of stuff out there that isn't true, or at least not entirely true. What can we do to handle and decipher and filter and figure out what's best? So today's article, we're going to be looking at some rather serious stuff, and then let's just discuss and see, you know, what our perspectives are and what we can do with this information. Again, friends, we're on page 27. We're going to do the first part of today's reading. We'll take a look at the first column, and Josh, help us out with the reading up to line 25. Thank you.
Drugs used for anxiety, sleep, are linked to Alzheimer's disease in older people. Older people who have relied on a class of drugs called benzodiazepines are at higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, new research found. Benzodiazepines, marketed under such names as Xanax, Valium, Ativan, and Klonopin, are widely used to treat insomnia, agitation, and anxiety, all of which can be early signs of impending Alzheimer's disease. The study compared the pattern of benzodiazepine use in 1,796 elderly people diagnosed with Alzheimer's with that of 7,184 similar people who had no such diagnosis. Such a study design, conducted by French and Canadian researchers and published in the journal BMJ, cannot by itself establish that more intensive use of the medications causes Alzheimer's disease, but it does strengthen such suspicions.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for helping us out with the reading.
There are some tough words there, Liz.
Indeed. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a look at this article. Again, it's written for the LA Times last year, 2014, by Melissa Healy. And she starts out with this statement: older people who have relied on a class of drugs called benzodiazepines are at higher risk of developing Alzheimer's disease, new research found. Okay, what a statement.
Yeah, it is quite the statement, because there is a lot of our population, no matter where you are in the world,
mm-hmm.
on some of these medications, and there's a lot of people suffer from anxiety
mm-hmm.
and insomnia.
Mm-hmm. So there are all these people with these health issues, and they've been taking these drugs to take care of these health issues. But unfortunately, according to a certain research, there seems to be evidence that while on one hand you're taking care of problem A, problem B is now becoming an issue.
That's true. It's scary. And they're not also all used with sort of anxiety. Klonopin also treats epilepsy quite a bit. So it's a wide swath of people that are taking benzodiazepines. And now there is, I don't think this is the first study to make the linkage, but it's the newest, with a very large body of people studied that are linking Alzheimer's to the use of these drugs.
Okay. So already we know that we have an aging population where issues of anxiety, sleep disorders, and epilepsy, and all kinds of other medical issues, okay, we, of course, want to find ways to treat them. And so they're taking this medication. But then we also have Alzheimer's, which is something else that's also a very serious issue.
With no cure, with very little progress made in the study of Alzheimer's.
Right.
And under the same umbrella is dementia. Oftentimes we hear that people have either Alzheimer's or dementia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And their symptoms are very, very similar.
Right. So there's a saying in English, out of the frying pan and into the fire. So it just basically means you get out of one situation, but then you find yourself in another situation, and both situations are not good.
No.
So this is very serious. Now, let's quickly move on to the next paragraph here. So benzodiazepine, okay, it's fancy, fancy word.
Could be the longest word we've used in the advanced class.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. All right, all these fancy scientific words when it comes to medication, usually they get marketed and repackaged under a different name, and sometimes in various different names because of where it's available in whatever country you find it. So we see in line 12, marketed under such names as Xanax, Valium, Ativan, and Klonopin. Okay, and those are just a few of the names available.
That's right.
Okay, so you might know somebody who's taking benzodiazepine, but under a different name.
Right, and I was just wanting to point out, too, we have to also think that a lot of people take medication for anxiety or sleep disorders way before they are a senior citizen.
Yes.
Sure.
Decades before they're a senior citizen.
They're giving teenagers antidepressants and anti-anxiety pills.
Oh, yeah, totally. And I do know that I've heard young people telling me, like, because they had trouble sleeping on airplanes, they pop a Valium and a couple shots of alcohol, and that's how they sleep like a baby. I'm thinking, whoa.
Yeah, you better hope there's no emergency on that airplane.
Yes.
I mean, America is a prescription drug-driven society.
Mm-hmm.
It is incredible how much prescription medicine is taken
mm-hmm.
for things that people used to just live with.
Right.
Right? And some of them are doing amazing things. I'm not saying it's bad.
Right.
But there's going to be repercussions.
Right.
And we're just learning of those now.
Right. Instead of just thinking, oh, got a problem, pop a pill. There are other ways to deal with some of these problems.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, as Josh mentioned, a lot of people have figured popping a pill might be the easier way out, but not
necessarily. I'm not trying to cast aspersions. It's made a lot of people's lives much easier.
Yes.
Right? They're able to function.
Yes.
But because we're an instant society, much of the world, this is an easy way to solve problems in some cases,
mm-hmm.
okay? And maybe a better way would be sometimes with diet and exercise or looking at your own life and what are you doing wrong. If I'm on my tablet till 1 or 2 in the morning and expecting to feel refreshed when my alarm goes at 6 or 7 in the morning, I'm not going to be. I haven't given myself enough time to sleep, and I haven't let my brain shut down by looking at that light from my tablet.
Better yet, if you were looking at the tablet in the most, probably not the best posture,
mm-hmm.
and you allow your body to be in that position all night long, you're going to wake up with aches and pains, too.
Right. And that might make me anxious.
Yes.
a lot of our problems, I'm not saying all our problems, but many of us, if we would take the time to evaluate what we're doing really and just do some tweaking and adjusting in terms of habits and lifestyle, instead of popping a pill, we could just solve a whole bunch of our own personal problems. But unfortunately, we're not talking about that. We're dealing with the people who have been popping pills.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that they're treating these serious issues like insomnia, agitation, and anxiety, okay? And these are all very serious problems. Okay, let's break them down. First of all, insomnia.
The inability to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's just a horrible condition.
Absolutely.
I have some good family friend who has had chronic insomnia for decades.
Goodness.
And he will just go days and days and days without any sleep.
Oh, that's horrible. That is horrible. I'm sure, friends, a lot of us are no stranger to insomnia, maybe because of stress, because of work, or maybe because you have some pretty big stuff happening at school. It's making you really nervous and tense, and it's affecting your sleep. Insomnia is something that's bound to happen for many people, okay?
Right. I like this next word, Liz, agitation.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly because I suffer from it a bit, a feeling of nervousness because of worry or fear
mm-hmm.
that is difficult to control.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I was taking medication at some point for that, but I find for me, and maybe some of our readers want to try this under the supervision of your doctor,
mm-hmm.
taking yourself out of a situation often really helps.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when holidays are near, whether it's Lunar New Year or Christmas or whatever, sometimes even though it's a really happy time, you can start to feel agitated because you're getting overstimulated.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just don't want to be one of these people that's popping pills.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, as we've mentioned before, you can look at your lifestyle, the way you're living, and see, how can I change this a bit?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes it is by now you can have some control your situation as to how long you want to be with these people, or should you be in such a crowd for so many hours on a weekend?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So a lot of it just takes time to step away and think about what can you do and what would be the responsible things, what's within your control,
mm-hmm.
and to just do what's good for yourself. And we see here that all these things we just mentioned, insomnia, agitation, and anxiety, line 15, all of which can be early signs of what, Josh?
Well, Alzheimer's disease. And we mm-hmm. use the word impending.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's something that could happen or it's going to happen in the future. And Alzheimer's is a degenerative disease. So it's not something you just wake up with one day. It sort of unfolds or materializes in your life
mm-hmm.
over time.
Right.
And it's something my maternal grandmother died of very early.
Mm.
Though I didn't know her well enough. She died when I was really pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if there were signs of anxiety or things in her life before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty scary disease that we still don't have a cure for.
Right. It's very sad. So now all this talk here comes from this study. And in line 17, we see that this study compared the pattern of what?
Well, benzodiazepine use in a certain group. We always have a group we're comparing against. In this case, it's about 1,800 elderly people who were diagnosed with Alzheimer's
mm-hmm.
versus the control group, in this case, 7,000 people who had no diagnosis.
Okay. Okay, so about 2,000 people to about 7,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is that a fair way of researching? I'm not sure. I'm just asking a question here because I'm thinking usually when I want to compare, I would try to make the numbers a little more even, or maybe I'm missing something here.
Well, there's a lot more people in the world that don't have Alzheimer's that do, so maybe they just wanted to look at, you know, a large
okay.
group of people who are taking benzodiazepines
uh-huh.
and see how Alzheimer's may or may not have materialized in their life, and then see what was the, you know, the progression, I'd say, of the disease in people who do.
Okay. All right. Now, this study, who conducted it? Lois?
Well, it says we have the study conducted by French, which would be French as in France, mm-hmm. and Canadian researchers.
Okay. So Lois is biased already.
Yeah, I'm biased already. I'm going to pick those Canadian researchers.
Okay, and it was published in the journal BMJ and cannot by itself establish that more intensive use of the medications causes Alzheimer's disease. So in other words, they're not 100% sure. But we see in the last sentence of the paragraph, it does strengthen such suspicions. So the study can't say once and for all, oh, for sure that anybody taking benzodiazepine, you will have this problem down the road.
No.
No, we don't want to come across
saying that either. No. Right. This is not what the study has said or has concluded. But they're just simply pointing out that something's kind of fishy here. Mm-hmm. Something kind of strange is going on.
We're getting a little suspicious, right?
Right, exactly. So got to be careful. Let's keep an eye on it, in other words. Okay, well, let's find out a little bit more about this study with the second half of this article for today. And Josh, please help us out.
Among the study participants over 66 who were living independently in Quebec, those who took low-dose benzodiazepine medication or who took higher doses but very briefly or infrequently did not see their Alzheimer's risk go up 5 years after they were first prescribed such a medication. But the picture was more worrisome for those who frequently took long-acting benzodiazepines, who frequently took high doses, or who took any such drugs regularly over several months. The authors of the study created an index that gauged the intensity of a participant's benzodiazepine use, and found that at the end of a 5-year period following an initial prescription, Alzheimer's risk mounted steadily. Those who took the cumulative equivalent of daily doses for 3 to 6 months over a 5-year period were roughly 32% more likely than those who took none to develop Alzheimer's. Those who took the cumulative equivalent of a full daily dose for more than 6 months were 84% more likely to do so.
Thank you, Josh. Thanks for helping us out with the reading.
Sure.
Okay, so we find out a little bit more about these drugs. And friends, if you just joined us, you're listening to Advanced Radio. We're going over a newsworthy clip for the month, and we are talking about drugs, specifically a special class, benzodiazepine, and how it seems like people who have been taking this class of drugs are at a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's. Okay, notice the phrase, higher risk. That means it's not 100% guaranteed, but it seems like some people have noticed there seems to be a higher number of people who seem to be having this problem now. Okay, now we're on page 27. We're on line 26 now, if you have your Advanced magazine. And we're going on to talk about the study. The participants in this study, they're over 66, living independently in Quebec, Canada.
That's a province, that's right.
Right. And we know Lois is biased already here.
Yeah. That's right.
You still count Quebec as a part
of
Canada?
Yeah, we still do. My daughter and my husband were born there, so I better.
Okay. All right. Those who took low-dose benzodiazepine medication or who took higher doses, but very briefly or infrequently, the good news is, did not see their Alzheimer's risk go up 5 years, okay, after they were first prescribed such a medication. So basically, what, in other words?
Well, they're not taking it every day.
Right.
So that's a good thing, okay?
First of all.
Obviously, because we see with them not taking it every day that possibly because of that, mm-hmm. their risk is not so great.
Right.
They won't experience Alzheimer's or dementia or whatever.
Right. And we see that word dose or dosage, mm-hmm. which just refers to the volume of medicine.
Right.
How much of it are you taking at one time or right. how often are you taking it per day or per week?
Right. So, okay, so on the basic level, they're saying if you're taking it, but just briefly, like it was just for a short period of time, or every so often.
Right. Okay. Insomnia is something that most people have happen in their life infrequently.
Right. So maybe in the past you'd had to take it for 2 weeks, let's say. So don't freak out. You know, it's not, the study shows that, you know, the people they've done the study with, those who just took it occasionally, mm-hmm. There were no signs of Alzheimer's. Okay.
I have a good friend who has to take anti-anxiety medicine when she flies.
Oh, there you go.
Or it's going to be bad for everyone.
Right. But it's not like she's flying every day.
Right.
No. So, yeah. So don't freak out just because you realize you're looking at your pill bottle and realize you're taking benzodiazepine, you know, every so often.
But I do know the opposite. I do know some people who have been taking this medication forever as young adults, right now to my age, in my early 50s. And boy, this article really, really waves some flags for me.
Yes.
And thinking of them.
That speaks of line 32 here. What does it say in line 32?
It says, but the picture was more worrisome for those who frequently took long-acting benzodiazepine, mm-hmm. who frequently took high doses, or who took any such drugs regularly over several months. Now, I'm talking several years. I'm talking decades.
Oh, wow. Of value
use? Well, they really have a problem with anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, there are people who, unfortunately, anxiety is very much part of their life for whatever reason. Okay. And so we're dealing with that group. That's what the study is trying
to talk about.
We're
it's
not talking about
point us that way.
Right. We're not talking about anyone who's taken this benzodiazepine. We're talking about a specific group here. Okay. So this is where the picture was more worrisome. Now, we use the word picture not necessarily to mean like a painting or a photo, but we're talking about the situation, how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
We use the word picture.
Right. Maybe someone's in the hospital and you ask about their diagnosis and they say, the picture doesn't look good.
Right.
The future, the state of his medical health.
Right. I also like that word worrisome in this.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if you want to let somebody know about how a situation is not too positive, you can say the picture's not so great or the picture looks, you know, more worrisome. Okay. It's a good phrase to use. Again, it's a little more colloquial sounding. Mm-hmm. All right. Now let's move on to the next column. Okay. The authors of the study created what?
Well, an index, some sort of standardized measurement tool.
Okay, and this index gauges what?
Yeah, okay, it says the intensity of the participants' benzodiazepine use and found that at the end of a 5-year period following an initial prescription, Alzheimer's risk mounted steadily.
Interesting. Okay, now first of all, I mentioned the word gauge, and we see it in the article here. Gauge, what does it mean?
It means to calculate an amount by using a measuring device or by your own judgment, or to make a judgment about people's feelings.
Okay. So this index was created, and basically it's out to measure the intensity, okay, how these people are taking the drug and the results. After 5 years, that's where things get,
Well, yeah, you understand that Alzheimer's takes time to mm-hmm. manifest itself. So mm-hmm. this couldn't be, you know, just a 3-week study of someone and gauging, you know, if their memory got, you know, reduced or something. So this needed to be a long-term study where they could see what the mental faculties of the participants in the study, you know, whether they decreased or stayed the same.
Exactly. And I just notice myself when I'm back home talking to friends about family members, it seems like nobody is untouched now by either Alzheimer's or dementia. It is in their family, whether it be like a maternal grandmother mm-hmm. or a great-great aunt or a great aunt or somebody's living with it right now. It's almost become like cancer. You just talk to people and they go, oh, did you know so-and-so has Alzheimer's or so-and-so mm-hmm. has dementia?
Mm-hmm.
And so I can understand why this study is being done.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is troubling indeed. So now those who took the cumulative equivalent of daily doses for 3 to 6 months over a 5-year period were roughly 32% more likely than those who took none to develop Alzheimer's. Okay, that's a mouthful right there. Loaded information here. Okay, so let's break it down. Okay.
Well, this idea of something being cumulative. It mm-hmm. means it's increasing over time, adding a new amount. So it's gathering all of it into one.
Right. Adding, yes.
And in this case, right, of daily doses. So maybe they weren't taking it every day, mm-hmm. but they added up all that they had taken in that five-year period mm-hmm. and equated it to daily usage.
Okay.
And those people, if they had done that over that 3 to 6 month period, saw a really sharp rise in onset of Alzheimer's.
So basically, those who do it regularly, do taking the drug regularly, compared to those who didn't, you have this 32% difference.
Right.
Almost a third.
Yeah. Yes. That's a lot. So, and those who took the cumulative equivalent of a full daily dose for more than 6 months were
84% more likely to do so.
Gosh,
we need to think of other ways to deal with anxiety
and that magic number,
sleep disorders.
Right, it seems like 3 months. If you're going to take a pill like that, mm-hmm. limit its use to just a few weeks or months. Mm-hmm. Don't extend it past that 3 month mark, or you're really risking your future.
Exactly. And sometimes, I know I might be harping on this a bit, listeners, but look at your diet. What mm-hmm. are you eating or drinking that's maybe really contributing to not letting you relax or not letting you sleep? Chances are, if you do have anxiety and you can't relax, you also can't sleep. So you got a double whammy there.
Mm-hmm. That's
true. Good point.
And I know for some people, they would think, okay, well, let me switch drugs. So then I'll stop taking benzodiazepine-related drugs. Then okay, I'll take a different class of drugs. But the thing is then, all right, that might solve this issue, this particular issue, but no tests have been done in those other areas as well. The point is to, you know, really take good care of yourself. And we know that there's a lot going on and, you know, life's not perfect, but we really like to encourage everyone to, you know, to really have the time to step back and figure out what's best.
Make health a priority.
Exactly. If we've taught anything on Advance, folks, we have taught our listeners, try to have a balanced life.
Right. Life is precious. And so we hope that all our listeners out there that you'll be able to figure out what's best for yourself and to be able to have that quality life. And until then, we do thank you so much for joining us today on this topic, drugs. And tomorrow we have another newsworthy clip, completely different subject. We hope you'll join us again for tomorrow's lesson. Until then, my name is Liz.
Lois.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.